from deep in the heart of flyover country, this is Spin Sold Separately.
Thank you for joining this grieving Vikings fan in his time of need. It doesn't get any easier. Well, actually, yeah, it has gotten easier, or otherwise it would have long since driven me insane. Welcome back, everybody, to Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. We are sticking with a football theme today. It is that time of year, and there's so much irritating stuff going on in the world. We're going to get to all that, like I said before, but I like to indulge in the football playoffs. These are my favorite games to watch throughout the year. And this divisional weekend has already been entertaining as heck, and we're barely two games through. As I am recording this, it looks like the Washington Commanders are going to upend the number one seed Detroit Lions. As I see it right now, a minute 57 to go. Washington up 45-31. See, that's what happens when I take the under in a game. Don't ever try to make a living on sports betting. So yeah, that did not see that coming. I thought Detroit was going to make it to the Super Bowl, but I think this just shows how wide open this NFC really was. And now Washington is going to face either Philly or the Rams in the NFC Championship game. How about Jaden Daniels? My goodness. I mean, every time he's impressed me as much as I can be impressed by a rookie quarterback, he goes out and does something twice as ridiculous the next week. And looking at his line today, I mean, it's so beyond his years. It's so beyond his professional experience, what he is doing right now. And I'm on board. Bring it on. I want to see Washington and I want to see Baltimore in the Super Bowl and watch Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson go at it. Two really good defenses, two great quarterbacks, two great running games. I think that would be entertaining as heck. So we'll see what happens there. In keeping with the football theme of the day, I've got a big treat for you today. I sat down with one of my best friends of all time, JT. We sat down and had an almost hour-long discussion about the current iteration of our Minnesota Vikings and everything Minnesota sports-related that makes us Minnesota sports fans the way we are. I think you will find it extremely entertaining. Whether you are a fan of Minnesota professional sports teams or not, I think you will find it very entertaining. JT and I go back almost as far as two people can go back. We went to elementary school together all the way on up. We've worked together on and off throughout the years. We have stayed close. We have common interests. I mean, we traded baseball cards with each other back in the 80s. I'm pretty sure he still has the Roger Clemens that I was trying to get off him. I'll bet you he's still hanging on to that thing, that bugger. We had a very fun discussion. We laughed. He makes me laugh like very few people can. And we lamented in great detail the endless shortcomings of our Minnesota sports teams, specifically their performance in the playoffs. Like I said, you don't have to be a Minnesota fan to appreciate this. I apologize for the ongoing audio issues that I am experiencing right now between these two microphones, that one is just not getting the job done. I used the microphone that is not so great for this episode. JT used the one that I usually use. So again, the audio is a little off between the two of us, and it's really freaking cold here in the cornfield, so I've got a space heater running in my studio area here. And at times, that creates a bit of a constant din in the background and screws with the audio a little bit. So I'm going to try to maneuver some things around here to address this, because I want to be talking to more people and having more guests on and, you know, doing more shows like this. And I want the audio quality to be every bit as good as I felt like we got to in those solo shows before I brought this second mic in. I did order a new microphone today, so when that gets here in a few days, we will give that a test run and hopefully remove this troublesome mic from the rotation here. So hopefully these audio issues are short-lived, and I will do something about this space heater. It's cold. It's going to get down into the minus 30 range over the next couple of days here. So while I'm in the basement, in the studio area here, it is a little chilly. So I do have the heater running. I apologize for that dull din in the background. Trust me, we're on it. We'll figure these out, and these episodes will get smoother and smoother as we go forward here. I would like to give a shout out to one of my favorite follows on X. His name is Dan Wenesota. That's Wenesota. Best-selling author, has a book called History of Heartbreak. He wrote it. Is cover to cover all about Minnesota sports teams and their incredible playoff demises, one after another after another. It's a quick read. It's a page turner, especially if you're like me, where you remember most of them. Just about everything he wrote about, say, post 1990, I've got a pretty vivid memory about, and I highly recommend it. History of Heartbreak by Dan Wenesota. You can find it on Amazon or any of your bookstores. It's all over the place. It is a fun read. It helps us through these trying times that seem to come with every passing season. The Minnesota Wild are already setting us up to do it to us again in the NHL playoffs. It looks like the Timberwolves are setting us up again. I mean, you do this long enough, you can start to see it coming. And I saw the Vikings coming from a mile away. I said the Rams would win by at least a touchdown. They could have won by four touchdowns. That game, 27-9, didn't even describe how non-competitive that game was right from the start. And we get into all of it. So, yes, shout out to Dan Wenesota. A shout out to my main man, JT. This was so fun. We are absolutely going to do this again. He's got some pretty entertaining political and social takes that we will get into in another episode in the near future. So here it is, our Minnesota Lamentations. JD and JT, enjoy.
All right, here we are at long last. JT, what's up, man?
Good evening.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions, and I want to have them answered immediately.
Glad to finally have you here. And, I mean, what better occasion to be celebrating than yet another disastrous performance by one of our Minnesota teams in the playoffs?
That was brutal.
Did you get to watch the whole thing?
I watched the entire game, unfortunately.
When did you know it was over?
First quarter, easily.
You too?
Yeah, by far. It wasn't even close.
I don't want to go captain pessimist, but, I mean, that when that first play went for 27 yards to the guy that we all know they're going to try to beat us with, Puka Nacua. Well, and there's no one from here to the Twin Cities to cover the guy. And it's just like, guys, right off the bat. And yeah, it never got better.
I heard their first meeting, I heard Brian Flores talk about, you know, we didn't know Nacua was going to be out there, which... Okay, sure. I guess it kind of took you by surprise, but at the same time, you'd think you'd be able to adjust. You knew he was going to be there.
Yeah. You knew he was going to be there, and you knew he was going to be healthy.
Yeah, my heart sank that first pass, and I'm like, this is the rinse repeat.
And then they, I don't know what happened. And then I think they ran a play, and then it was another 23-yarder. Because I remember tweeting out the first two pass plays go for 50 yards. And it's like, this. And I did. I had that thought already.
That's right.
And we're going to get into all kinds of reasons why for all you, how can you give up on a game in the first quarter? Well, have we got some juicy info for you here. The Minnesota Vikings are just the tip of the spear when it comes to unimaginable ineptness when it comes to Minnesota teams and breaking our hearts. Well, they're very good at that. But it's not just the Vikings. And, we're going to get into all kinds of fun stuff here. Now, everybody knows, well, before we move on to historical ineptness, let's just kind of put a ribbon on this season here. I liked the signing of Sam Darnold early on. I know it's the first time the Vikings have drafted a quarterback that high. There's so many misses with quarterbacks. There's so many misses at the top of the first round. I actually would have been okay, given Darnold's age, and what they got him for, I think it was 1 year, $10 million.
That's correct.
I would have been okay if they hadn't drafted a quarterback this year. I know it was a good class, and I know this year, this coming draft, not so much, but he was only, at the time, 27 years old, and he had spent time with two teams that are, you know, even more dysfunctional than our own. A horrible New York Jets team that drafted him and surrounded him with nobody. And then he goes from there to Carolina, what arguably one of the two teams worse than the team he came from. And then he goes to San Francisco as a backup for a year, learns what winning looks like. 27 years old, and he finally comes to, you know, a team that has a quarterback-friendly head coach, superstar wide receiver. They brought in Aaron Jones. Offensive line still a work in progress, which, boy, did we see that come to a head again in the playoffs. But I actually like the signing of Sam Darnold. Did I think he was going to win 14 games? No. Do I even think the Vikings were a, quote, 14-win team? No. We went over in that playoff preview just how many one-score games this team was involved in and how many quirky plays it took to get there, any number of which could have gone the other way. So I like the signing. That said, these meltdowns, these last two games when all the chips were down, I'm kind of ready to move on. Like, not even if he wanted to come back on the cheap, another, he's not going to sign another one-year deal after winning 14 games, but I'm just kind of ready to turn the page. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. I was on the fence about the signing at first. Obviously, he proved me wrong. I was not a huge fan of his. I understand the history of where he came from, and give him a shot. The QB whisperer of KOC,
oh,
obviously.
Yes, the QB whisperer until you run into some real competition.
Right, yeah, playoff teams.
Oh, come on!
All right, slight issue with my super high-quality equipment here, but I think we got it back the way it's supposed to be.
Technical difficulties is what they
technical,
call that.
Yeah. You were saying about Darnold, you were not a huge fan of the signing, proved you wrong.
He definitely proved me wrong. I did like what I see for the time being. The issue I ran into was towards the end of the year when everybody started talking about, oh, what now? What are we going to do with Darnold? Are we going to, what should we do? Should we franchise tag him? Should we sign him and trade him? I'm just like, some people were even talking about just, he's the answer. He's
about
the
long 5 years, $200 million.
Oh, God. And luckily, somebody that has some football knowledge that I was listening to, Ben Lieber, was talking, well, the whole idea of why you drafted JJ was to have that cheap, possibly future quarterback for the next X amount of years. So when your salary cap comes up next year and you've got all this money you're spending on offensive line,
guard, yeah, center,
maybe some cornerbacks,
maybe a corner and a interior defensive lineman.
Right. You might need to find yourself another safety, as sad as it is, but Harrison Smith.
Yeah. Oh, Harrison Smith.
He's long in the tooth.
He had a nice year, though. I thought he was better this year than he, I mean, well, he's definitely better this year than he was last year. But, yeah, what is he now, 35?
That sounds right.
Somewhere in there.
Well, yeah. And by all accounts, I mean, speaking of Lieber, he,
I heard, did I heard you hear that, that? I heard that they both got choked up. And when an NFL player gets choked up, I mean, I know the emotions run high at the end of a season. You might want to sit on it for a couple of months. But, yeah, that might be the end of the end of the hit, man, which that time comes for everyone, but man, has he been a stalwart for this team.
Yeah, just amazing. And unfortunately, Kwesi, your boy, fumbled the ball in the draft a couple years ago with Kyle Hamilton. And
oh, man, that was his first move. Oh, his very first move.
Yeah, and his next move followed by, I believe, stalking the Detroit Lions, which I think that's worked out pretty well for them.
Jameson Williams turned out pretty okay,
I guess, after he decided to knock off all the BS.
Yeah, he spent about half a season just not getting out of his own way, but seems like he's got some stuff figured out now. He's burned us more than a couple of times.
Yes. But yeah, I just, people talking about franchising and keeping him around. In fact, Tom Pelissero, I believe is his name, mm-hmm. NFL, he was on the show I was listening to this morning, and he kept saying the logical thing is for Darnold to come back. And I wanted to really, I wish I could have called in and asked him, like, but the the most logical thing is. And I get it. You may still need kind of a little bit of a stopgap between JJ being ready. But
yeah, you don't know if he's what he's going to look like coming off that injury.
Correct. But do you want to throw 20, 30, 40 million at that?
Yeah, you're not getting him for the 10 that you got him for this year. That's for dang sure.
Yeah, so I really question the logical reasoning behind it, because that doesn't seem like logic. If he wants to come back, and I agree with you, I don't think he's going to come back for $10 million a year. It's just, even 20 seems like, it seems like a lot for a guy that you want to be the backup. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
for a guy that under your ideal circumstances is definitely on the bench by week six,
right?
You know, week eight.
Yep, a month or 2 months in, you don't want him to be. Plus, I don't think you want any sort of questioning going on. If you're going to re-sign Darnold, even on somewhat of a cheap deal, and let's say he starts out again like he did in the regular season, do you really want to be like, well, maybe? Maybe we'll hold off.
Do we ride this out? You know, the first time he throws two picks in a game, is he right. looking over his shoulder? Yeah, you really don't want to set that up either. So I will admit, when we were 14-2 and all we had to do was go beat a banged up Detroit team and we're sitting home for a week and hosting a game this weekend, I will admit I got caught up in it. I was ready. I don't know if I was ready for 5 years, $200 million. I would have been okay with 2 years, $50 million, and you know, basically give him next year, let JJ, because the sad thing is JJ gets hurt. I don't even think he was in the building for these games.
No, I don't think they didn't. I don't think they weren't showing him at all.
You know, they were, or at least for like or maybe it was practices, something he couldn't be present at because he was on IR or something. So he was doing a lot of stuff over Zoom.
Yes.
As opposed to being in the building. I don't know how much you're getting out of that. Plus, it's a year on the shelf. So I would have been okay with a short-term deal. Who knows if Sam even would have taken that. But people that know what they're talking about said all along, hey, this we're talking about this week after week. This might just work itself out. You know, he's either going to win the Super Bowl or get you to a Super Bowl, in which case the answer's been given to you, or the real Sam Darnold's going to stand up again, which sadly he did those last two games, that game against Detroit and then the playoff game. And yeah, that's not good enough. Throwing the ball to the other team against Detroit and then having, obviously, the memory of that right in the front of his brain the very next week and taking 9 sacks, including a sack on fourth down, which is, I didn't play a down of football in my entire life. I don't know why on fourth down you don't just heave-ho it as far as you can. And who cares what happens? Whether it gets picked, maybe you get a pass interference. Who cares? The only thing you can't do on fourth down is take a sack.
And 100%.
He even did that. So, I don't know what their short-term plan is. Obviously, JJ's the long-term plan. Hopefully that injury didn't set him back too far. But so quarterback, we'll see what happens with this team going forward. They've got a lot of impact free agents they got to deal with, but yes, they have a very, very large chunk of salary cap funds available for next year, and they've got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do along the line of scrimmage on both sides, at least one corner, because they might lose one or two in free agency, definitely a safety. And yeah, just to recap, because I'm never going to forget this as long as Kwesi's the GM, we're sitting at, I believe it was pick 14.
That's correct.
And I remember we were sitting at Buffalo Wild Wings, big group of people. Yep. We know they need a safety, and Kyle Hamilton is sitting there, and he's sitting there. And he was supposed to go like 10, 12, 14, somewhere in that range. And he makes it all the way to 14. And we're just, there's no brainer. You take Kyle Hamilton, and you don't even think twice about it.
Easiest pick in the world.
And then all of a sudden, the Detroit Lions pop up on the clock, and we're, really? Did we just trade within the division? And B, did we just hand Kyle Hamilton to the Lions? Well, yes, we did trade with the Lions. They ended up taking, I believe, Jameson Williams with that pick.
Yes, they did.
And of course, Kyle Hamilton goes two picks later to the Baltimore Ravens because, you know, they needed another stud defensive player. That hasn't worked out for him at all or anything.
Yeah, he's been okay.
Yeah, he's been all right. And then we get all the way to pick 32, and what do?
Lewis Cine.
We take a safety.
Yep.
Now, it's not Lewis Cine's fault that he didn't work out. He got hurt. I mean, gruesome injury. Couldn't come back from it. he had a hard time getting on the field even before that injury. I think we netted basically a third-round pick to drop that far in the first round. There were some other assets that kind of went back and forth, maybe a fifth for a sixth or whatever. The big get for us was an extra third-round pick,
yep.
Which, I don't know about you, I can't name one guy from that draft class. They outside went, of Seen, and then they went Booth. He's off the team. He was a second-rounder. I don't know who the hell we took in that third round. I couldn't...
They went through it on the show. They rattle off every single pick he's had, Kwesi's had in his short stint here.
Yeah.
And I believe they... And I could be completely wrong, but there was hardly anybody left.
It's basically Jordan Addison.
Yep.
Who was the first rounder the next year.
Correct.
And Ivan Pace Jr., who was a free agent.
That sounds about
right. Rookie free agent.
Yeah. And even if you want to look at this year, I get it. McCarthy got hurt. He looked good in his preseason game, but whatever. Dallas Turner, I know we were all excited. I was excited. He looked great.
Yeah.
What happened there?
He was getting like 15 snaps a game. They were using him so little. Now, we did end up getting, I think, even more than they anticipated out of the two defensive ends we brought in between Van Ginkel and Grenard on the other side. I think they ended up getting more out of those two than maybe even they saw coming. So maybe you had a hard time getting Turner on the field. That might kind of work itself out this next year. But
they brought that up, and I tend to agree with what they said. And I forget the guy's name for the Rams, ironically. The rookie, I think second, third rounder for the Rams on the D-line.
Oh, yeah, the guy that blew us up last week.
That sounds right. I should know his name. His name popped up enough. But they basically brought up the fact that, okay, with Dallas Turner, didn't quite come to fruition.
Didn't splash.
Yeah, the way they thought he would. But the point they made was, even if he gets in there in little time, if he's really knocking it out of the park, you're going to find a spot for him. And that never really happened in aspect.
No. He started playing a little bit more toward the end of the year there, but, I mean, that could have been saving the veterans' snap count at the end of a season as much as anything. But last thing on this year's team, you know, I a lot of us long-tenured Viking fans saw this coming almost most of the year. I mean, people that don't know as well, you know, that know us as Viking fans, it's like, hey, you know, you're 10-2, oh, you're 11-2, and they see this just total lack of enthusiasm on our face, and it's like, aren't you excited? You're going to make the playoffs. It's like, well, yeah. Get back to me when you actually win a game. Get back to me when you don't do stuff like what we're going to go through here in a minute. And this year was just another example of that. Last thing I want to talk about this year's team, KOC. He wins 13 games in his first year. A bunch of one-score games was well-documented. Then last year, those one-score games flip, 7-10. Now you're picking, what the heck were we? We're picking 9th or 10th or somewhere, you know, toward the top of the draft. This year it flips again. Yet again, another season filled with very close games, 14-3. But I was at that playoff game against the Giants when we got carved up by one Daniel Jones.
Got him paid.
Who was, oh, we made him so much money. No wonder he couldn't wait to come to Minnesota. I was at that playoff game with my dad watching. I wrote down the stat line here. 24 of 35, 301 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's in Minnesota in a playoff game at U.S. Bank Stadium. In a game the Vikings were favored by, I believe, a touchdown? It was a big number. I don't remember exactly what it was. But a 13-4 Viking team at home against a very average New York Giants team with a quarterback that really hadn't even proven himself yet.
And we saw it 2 weeks prior to that.
Except in the game 2 weeks before when he carved us up a little bit. And then he comes to U.S. Bank Stadium and ends our season. And then this year, we go to Detroit, look completely inept. I mean, yeah, on paper, if everybody's healthy, Detroit's the better team.
Maybe Daniel Jones is our curse, because when they activated him from the 53-man roster...
Was that the beginning of the end?
I think that was right before the Lions game, because it had something to do with the compensatory thing in the draft upcoming, where they had to have him on the roster. That way, if he ends up, if he goes somewhere,
we get a compensatory pick.
Correct.
Because so, he was active for so he had, a number
I
of weeks.
I think they had to do it before the last game of the year. I might be mistaken. It's either before, it was either right before the Lions game or right before the Rams game, playoff game.
Okay.
So,
because I know in the playoff game, he wasn't active. Well, he was like the emergency third
right.
quarterback. Because I saw everybody on Twitter at the halftime, put Daniel Jones in, put him in. No. And I just like, do you not look at things before the game starts?
No,
he was
no.
inactive. He's the third quarterback and he can only play if your top two get hurt. And I mean, if you're begging for Daniel Jones at halftime, I'm sorry, your game's over. But a KOC, he's due an extension. This is the last year of his contract coming up. Somebody threw that thing out, right before the Detroit game, about many different teams looking to trade for KOC. Did you hear that?
I did hear some
that
trade
Jay Glazer
chatter.
Report that just, I mean, nobody was ready for that. It came out the morning of the last Sunday of the regular season. Now, of course, you know, the Vikings-Lions game was later at night, but that morning, oh, yeah, several teams have expressed interest in trading for KOC, and I don't know. Where does something like that come from? It probably comes from his agent or somebody close to his agent. I thought the timing was weird. And I don't think it's a coincidence that that team kind of spiraled a little bit after that. I'm not saying it directly led to that, but those were two completely inept performances. I'm sorry. KOC has won a lot of games here. He's a great guy. He obviously has the locker room. The players love him. I'm not banging on the guy. I really like him. But we've had three enormous games under his tenure. The two playoff games and that game against Detroit, which might as well have been a playoff game because of what was at stake. We got beat in our own building by an inferior Giants team, and then we got trucked back-to-back weeks by the Lions and then the Rams, who for some reason we just can't seem to beat. I think that's the fourth time in a row the Rams have beat us. I'm ready. I mean, I'm not saying fire the guy, but am I ready to give him a 5-year extension?
Well, yeah, and he would demand.
I
would imagine.
Yeah, and I know that's how the NFL works these days. Nobody plays out the last year of their contract except Mike McCarthy, I guess, and Dallas just did, and that went so well that he basically just walked out the day after his contract was up and said, "Okay, I guess I'm done here."
Well, yeah, it turns out when you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback leading the charge every single year, you might have to put in a little work to make it happen.
And even Dallas fans, I mean, they're banging on the guy. He lost his quarterback too. They spent the last 2/3 of the year with Cooper Rush and some other guy that even
was
started.
Trey Lance?
Was it Lance? Oh, could have been.
I think it was Trey Lance.
Oh, yeah. You're only as good as your quarterback in the NFL.
Minnesota's own Trey Lance.
Is he from Minnesota?
He's from Minnesota.
I know he played at North Dakota.
Yeah, he's from, were they saying?
Or North Dakota State.
Yeah, he played there, but he was born and raised in, I think he played in like Champlin or something like that.
Oh.
I don't remember exactly what, they brought it up on KFAN.
Maybe we could bring him in as the backup next year. Anyway, so I don't know. It's a tough spot. He's won a lot of games. He's a good dude, has the locker room, but man, the three games that you needed to bring it, we have come up completely empty all three times. So I guess that's what's...
Seem like he was as lost as Darnold was. I questioned, and they've even brought it up on the radio, what was he doing at
Did
the
you
end of the
set
third?
Your quarterback up for success, first of all?
Right.
You saw what he did against Detroit. You know he's on his heels. Draw up a couple of 6-yard slants for him. For as much down the field passing as we did this year, with great success and largely because of Sam Darnold, can you draw up a couple of easy throws for him in that first quarter? Even after you give up the touchdown, you decide to defer, you kick off to the Rams, they drive down, they score a touchdown. Okay, fine. Give him a couple of screens. Give him a couple of, 10-yard outs or. No, we just started kind of going right down the field right off the bat, which I'm not saying that in a vacuum is a bad thing, but coming off the game your quarterback just had, you know he's rattled. Now he's going against a defense that already kind of flummoxed him once earlier in the season. Give him a couple of easy throws just to get his feet under him. I don't think he did that. And I think Sam suffered because of it, because our offensive line clearly wasn't up to the task. That pressure's coming up the middle. That's going to screw with any quarterback. But he took 9 sacks. He didn't take 9 sacks because the Rams legit got to him 9 times. He took 9 sacks because he was seeing ghosts. He was so caught in his own head.
Yeah, a lot of people that were saying
he wasn't seeing open receivers. He wasn't stepping up in the pocket like he was all year long. That's the thing he did that Kirk really never did. He'd slide. He'd step up. He'd take those 2-3 running steps forward, not to run, but to pass. And that's where a lot of our down the field passing game came from. He just didn't do it. He got so in his own head, he just stopped doing what worked for him all year long. And I think that's where the coach has to step in and say, okay, I know we want JJ 22-yard post every single play. Let's hit TJ. Let's hit TJ on an 8-yard just curl route. Just hit a couple of those. Get your confidence back. We'll see what they do in response. But I'm not an NFL coach.
Yeah, Troy Aikman even said on the broadcast when they replayed one of the, I think, sacks that he took, they replayed it, and he said, you have to step up and throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Troy even said, he's not doing that.
Yeah.
He's not doing it at all. And somebody posted on X, from Madden Playbook, the all slants. That KO, basically calling out KOC for not giving him slant plays.
Help
like
your guy out.
All slants. Quick. Go back to draw. Get somebody on the phone. Say, hey, what did the Rams do in 1999? A lot of slants. Mm-hmm. A lot of really quick slants to Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. Falk out of the backfield.
Greatest show on turf.
Yes. Call it up. Do it. They stuck with what they were doing. I questioned what he was doing at the end of at halftime. I looked at the folks I was watching with, and I said, after the Detroit game and the last 6 quarters now, you got to bring in a different quarterback at this point. It's not going to happen.
I think the number got to 18. I think they went 18 drives from late in the Packer game until whenever we scored that touchdown, that irrelevant touchdown against the Rams without a touchdown.
Yeah, they flashed the stat up there, how many drives, whatever it was. And
again, when it mattered most, I know the competition steps up, but Detroit's defense, like I said, San Francisco, who's like 8 running backs deep, didn't have their number one receiver, didn't have their all-pro left tackle. They ran up and down the field on the Lions the week before we played them.
Correct. And the week before we played the Rams in the playoff game, I think two weeks before, they had to intercept the ball in the end zone to beat the Cardinals.
Yep. Yep. They weren't running away from they were scoring, but very, very inept offenses were running up and down the field on that defense because they're all banged up. They had like 16 players, not all of them starters, but I think 6 or 7 of them were starters on the defensive side of the ball, all on IR, and we couldn't score a touchdown against them.
Yeah, so we lost to 2 teams, and those 2 teams, uber-aggressive Detroit, clearly we didn't have an answer for all these 4th downs. We're going to just go for it. We're going to just sling it. And then the Rams, does his old head coach just know how to beat them?
I think he does, and I think there's something to that. I even mentioned that leading up to the game.
Yeah.
We've been non-competitive in the games that we've played against Sean McVay. And I don't think the fact that KOC was a McVay protege has nothing to do with that. I think it doesn't explain it entirely, but you know your underlings.
Right, because leading up to that first Rams game, I know that, you know, they had some injuries, Nakua was out, and Stafford hadn't really done a whole lot to that point. Like, people were talking about he's could be on the trade block.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, leading up to that.
Weren't they like 1-4?
That sounds right.
I think they were 1-4 when they beat us.
And then he goes, what was it, 300-400 yards and 3 or 4 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere. And I know he got Nakua back, and I think Cup was out and he came back.
Yeah, they both came back that game. Just one quick comment on Dan Campbell. I love not only that aggressiveness,
agreed,
that willingness to say, yeah, I know it's 4th and 3 at our own 46. Or our own, even, forget that, even our own 35. 4th and 1 from the 35. Every NFL coach prior to him punts the ball.
Yep.
He says, I think my guys can get a yard
yeah.
when they absolutely have to get a yard. They'd even show KOC on the sideline on every 4th down. You want to talk about a guy who has no control over what's going on the field?
Yeah.
Be the guy on the other side of the field from the guy that's just firing from both barrels. Like, I'm your Huckleberry. What am I thinking of? Doc Holliday. Just Doc Holliday on the other side of the field. It's, you know, 5 drinks in going, yeah, go ahead. We're going to go for it every single time. What are you going to do about it?
It's absolutely great.
And they kept cutting to KOC, and he's just kind of pacing up and down like, what the hell do I do? I don't have a call for this. You know, Brian Flores, what do you got for 4th and 3 from their freaking 35? You don't have the play for that. And before you even know that they're really serious about doing it, they've snapped the ball, they've already completed it, and now they got a 1st down and you're on your heels the rest of the drive.
Yeah, there's no nonsense. They're not trying to draw you offsides. They're running the play, and they're going to get it.
Yeah. He's just like, no, I'm not screwing with you here. I'm going to run this. We're not going to give you the ball back.
Correct.
You're going to stop me every once in a while. I'm going to get out too far over my skis here and there. But man, did it have our coaching staff on the defensive the entire game, and they were never able to catch up.
One's got to think that they should have been expecting that. Dan Campbell's been doing this since he took over.
Yeah.
So this is nothing new.
Yep.
But yet, when it actually happened on the field, it looked like this was the first time.
It's almost like they still didn't believe he was going to do it in a game with that much on the line. You do it in a game in week 6 where maybe you know, you don't know what's going to be at stake down the line. Okay. But in week 18... with the 1 seed or the 5 seed on the line? Oh, no, he's not going to do that. Baloney, he's not.
Well, he was doing it in the playoffs last year.
Well, yeah. But then it burned him.
It did burn him.
In that Frisco game.
That's correct.
God, weren't they up like 28-7
yeah.
at halftime? And then before you came back with your snack for the 3rd quarter, it was tied because you kept going for it.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, it definitely burned him there.
It did.
But
man, I just remember watching KOC and Flores, that whole first half going, he's really going to do this. And they looked discombobulated the whole time. Okay. That went like a half hour, which I figured we'd spend like 5 minutes on that. But that's all good because, I mean, this was just the latest in such a long line of historical Viking heartbreak. Even watching, not around the horn, pardon the interruption, they did a quick thing about... you know, this is the anniversary of the Gary Anderson miss.
That's right.
This is the 98, 15-1. We're steamrolling everyone. Our kicker hasn't missed. This is the anniversary of that kick, and they always do the happy not-so-anniversary to, you know, some infamous play or whatever happened in the past. Well, this was the one. He had gone 35 for 35 on field goals, 59 for 59 on extra points, and missed a 38-yarder indoors that would have put us up 10 with like 3 minutes left. I mean, it was the lock, and they kept showing it. I must have seen it 6 times today, all over Twitter. Creasel, your boy, starts off the morning with happy 26th anniversary. Poor Gary Anderson. From what I understand, he personally like never recovered from that.
Yeah, I woke up to your tweet or reply to him this morning when he posted that.
Just the way I want to sit down and grab my first coffee and, oh, yeah, geez, yeah, where were you? I remember exactly where I was. But so the Vikings. Okay, so they've got all these playoff heartbreaks. Well, if you're making the playoffs this much, historically you must be a pretty decent regular season team, which is true. Over the course of Viking history, they have a .546 winning percentage. That's pretty good. That's 8th best in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, I saw that
stat. Top 10. Let me give you a rundown of the teams around them and how many Super Bowls they have, which, for those of you that don't know, Minnesota, 0-4 in Super Bowls. Now, they all happened, I'm 46, they all happened even before I was born. So, I don't have any attachment to those games. I don't have any PTSD from those games, but they happened. 0-4 in Super Bowls.
having never led in any of those four games, which is an impossible stat to believe, but it's true.
We're going to go down the list here. The top 12 winning percentage teams in the NFL and how many Super Bowls they've won. Real quick. Number one, Dallas, 5 Super Bowls. 2, Green Bay, 4 Super Bowls. Number 3, Baltimore, who's been around since, like, last Thursday, has 2 Super Bowls. The Ravens, Baltimore, that is. Number 4, Chicago. Okay, they've only got one, but it was one that nobody will ever forget.
That's correct.
You know,
Super Bowl shuffle.
They didn't have some, you know, innocuous Super Bowl team like the Bucks with Brad Johnson that won a Super Bowl one year that nobody ever talks about anymore. That one Super Bowl that Chicago won is still talked about to this day. Number 5, New England. 6 Super Bowls. Number 6, Miami. 2 Super Bowls, one of them over us. Number 7, Kansas City. 4 Super Bowls, one of them over us. Number 8, Vikings, 0. Number 9, San Francisco, 5 Super Bowls. Number 10, Pittsburgh, 6 Super Bowls, one of them over us. Number 11, New York Giants, 4 Super Bowls. Number 12, Denver, 3 Super Bowls.
42 of the 58 Super Bowls have been won by those top 12 all-time winning percentage teams. 42 of 58.
So outside of Chicago, who had the one, but it was a big one, everyone else in that top 12 has won at least 2. And here we are with nothing.
Yeah, I saw that stat, and it just, I already kind of knew it. Because you just growing up watching them, you're right, we're always in the playoffs. We're almost always in the playoffs. We're almost always competitive. If we have an off year of 5 wins, 6 wins, 7 wins, there's usually a bounce back with 8, 9, 10, or 11 wins. Obviously, these last couple of years with a 13 and 14, it's
usually good enough to be in the mix.
Yes.
I will give the Vikings franchise credit. They very rarely bottom out, you know, like Arizona did for several years, or Jacksonville is right now, or Carolina, Tennessee. They're never picking number one or number two for, you know, 2-3 years running.
Maybe that's the problem.
But it got me thinking, because why are we so bitter? Why is our generation so bitter with this team? We weren't around for those Super Bowls.
No.
We carry the bitterness as if we were. So it kind of got me to think about, well, how bad has it been? Forget the Super Bowls. You know, those all predate us. Forget the Super Bowl. So I went back. This is since 1978. It's the year I was born, year after you were born.
Correct. I remember it fondly.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Yeah, it was a great year. Great vintage. Since 1978, in the wild card round, the Vikings are 7-8.
Bummer.
In the divisional round, 5-9.
You disgust me.
And in NFC championship games, 0-6.
You are one pathetic loser.
Now,
hey, your team made it to the NFC championship game 6 times. That's pretty good.
I can tell you with vivid memory, except for the one that happened in 1978, I can vividly remember the play that changed every single game. They weren't just these innocuous, you know, rock 'em, sock 'em, 34-31, it's whoever had the ball last, or, oh, we got caught on a 4th-and-7 on the last drive and couldn't pick it up. Okay, so we lose in 78. 1987, Darren Nelson drops a sure touchdown pass in the Metrodome. Toward the end of the game, we lose to the Washington Redskins. Darren Nelson, right in the hands.
Yes, I've seen the replay. I don't remember it.
It's grainy, but it's out there. You can find it.
Yes, I do recall seeing that replay.
So that very identifiable play. 1998, we already talked about it. The 15-1, Randy Moss's rookie season. We're scoring 45 points a game. Yep. Nobody can stop us. Gary Anderson misses the first kick he's missed.
Well, but let's kneel on it with a minute and a half to go in the half.
There is more to that, where we were inexplicably aggressive in one spot and then inexplicably passive in another. But, I mean, the play, the disaster play that everybody remembers is Gary Anderson missing that kick. Yeah. 2 years later, 2000, 41 donuts.
I was gonna say, wasn't that the Giants?
That's the Giants that had the superstar Hall of Famer Kerry Collins at quarterback that just heaved touchdown after touchdown. Yeah. That game was another one that was
start off with a muffed like kickoff or something, or was that after they had scored?
You know,
I think they went down and scored, and then the ensuing kickoff. I think whoever was returning it
We muffed it.
It muffed it, and immediately
touchdown. It's 14-0 before you even sat down.
14-0 almost immediately. Obviously, I didn't get to prep that, but I'm pretty sure that it was 14-0 like that, and it was over.
Yeah, 41 rip.
Yeah,
in a championship game. To it again. I think that game I remember was at New York, but I think we were favored because that's only 2 years removed from '98.
Correct.
When you know you still have Moss, you still have Carter.
Yeah.
I think that was Dante Culpepper.
Yep, Culpepper.
Was it Culpepper? Maybe that was Jeff George. I can't remember. No,
Culpepper was a rookie in '99.
Okay, well, so whoever it was, I think that might have been the Jeff George year.
Maybe it was.
But 41 rip. Okay. 09.
Oh, yeah, the Favre cross his body.
Yeah. Bounty Gate.
Yeah.
Favre getting the ever-living tar beat out of him.
Four fumbles by Peterson. Good Lord.
There was, I can still remember this, six fumbles. I think three of them lost.
That sounds right.
And then Favre threw one interception. We all remember it.
Yeah. Yep.
We're driving down the field. Tell you, and I've told you this before, but I'll share it with the audience. I can still remember when Favre hit Chester Taylor.
Yes.
On a quick little wheel route, just out of the backfield, tosses it over the line to him, and he picks up like 12 yards. He got us down to, I want to say it was like the 32-yard line. And we had Ryan Longwell.
Ryan Longwell. Yep.
And there's like 45 seconds left in the game. That was, even in 98, I never had that feeling like, we're actually going to the Super Bowl. Yeah. I didn't have that feeling in 98. I had it in 09.
Yeah.
When that pass happened, he gets tackled, I believe, at the 32. I actually got that euphoria, like, this is actually going to happen.
Yeah, Longwell's going
to. We've got a Hall of Fame quarterback that doesn't need to. He's done everything he needs to do. Yep. We don't even need to throw anymore.
Right.
And we've got a kicker that can make it from right where we are. We can kneel on it three times.
Yeah.
And then the 12 men in the huddle. So now you're panicking.
Yep.
You get backed up to the 37. So now a 50-yard field goal becomes 55, which obviously scared our head coach.
Childress was notorious for not knowing what to do in big situations.
Well, yeah, it turns out.
He was brutal in clock management.
So we have the most infamous 12 men in the huddle penalty out of a timeout, mind you. So they couldn't call a timeout once they realized they had too many guys out there to fix it. 12 men in the huddle, back it up to the 37. Our coach loses his mind and tells Brett Favre to throw the ball. He throws it across his body, gets intercepted when he had 8 yards daylight of open space. Absolute in front daylight of him to run for 5 yards and run out of bounds.
I'll never forget the play. It's
get
in
us right back to where we were. And Longwell, I would bet my house that Ryan Longwell was going to make that kick. I don't even care if it was from 55.
Oh, yeah, give him a shot.
If he threw an incomplete pass there or correct knelt on yep it.
55.
I think Longwell makes that kick 10 out of 10 times.
Well, indoors? I mean, come on.
Longwell. Indoors, and he was so good. He was having such a great year. Now, I know we just talked about Gary Anderson, but so there's 09. We lose the coin toss. New Orleans gets the ball, drives into field goal range, kicks a field goal. We never even see the ball. Oh, well, now we're going to change the overtime rule.
Yeah.
Remember that changed right after
how
that?
Convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. Glad we could be on the losing end of that, too.
You lose.
And then 2017. Fresh off the Minneapolis Miracle. Oh. We're going to host the Super Bowl in our brand new stadium. We have the Minneapolis Miracle in the divisional round. We go to Philly. We drive down the field like they weren't there.
Correct.
And score a touchdown on the first drive. They did the curling thing in the end zone. We never scored again.
No.
38-7. It was 38 rip the rest of that game. I think there was a pick six in there or a fumble recovery for a touchdown. These are the six. These are not games that you just, you know, the normal ebbs and flows of an NFL game. Every one of these had catastrophic plays that took place. So 7-8, 5-9, 0-6. That's 12-23 since 1978, this team in the playoffs. That's a .342 winning percentage. Since 1989, they're 9-19. Like, you know, since we've been old enough to remember, 9-19 in the playoffs. Okay, so a .342 winning percentage. That's kind of hard to imagine. That's the same as an NBA team going 28-53.
You lose.
You like baseball? That's the same as a baseball team going 55-107. That's the level of ineptness this team has displayed in the playoffs in our sports loving lives. And it's not just the losses. Look at some of these scores. These are all on the losing end. 34-9, 41-13, 24-7, 40-15, 38-7, 41-donut, and 27-9 last week. The Rams could have scored three more touchdowns
easily.
They sat on the ball the last quarter and a half.
And I know it's, you can't look at it like, well, that's the whole, right? And you'd think, well, each year's different. Well, this isn't the same team. This is different coach, different team. It's always different, but yet it's still the same.
But yet the result never changes. Inputs keep changing, but the output is always the same. Get back to me when the result changes. Until then, yes, I'm going to continue to be this freaking irrational. Right.
Well, because for us, it's the result never changes.
No.
For those individual players, they didn't feel the pain of that, so they shouldn't. That shouldn't even factor in, but why does it feel like it does factor in?
Yeah. That feeling that you and I got in the first quarter of that Rams game, that wasn't because of the Rams game.
No.
That was because of everything we just talked about and this 12-23 in the playoffs since we've been alive. So, okay, but we're lucky. We don't just have one major market sports team. We got all kinds of them. What about our Timberwolves? What about our basketball team? They have a 4-12 winning percentage throughout their entire history. That is the worst of all 30 NBA franchises. Their playoff record? 30-49.
Oh.
That's a 380 winning percentage. Slightly better than our Vikings in our lifetime. They're 4-12 in playoff series. They've won 4 series. They've lost 12. They have 0 finals appearances, 0 titles, 2 conference finals appearances in 36 years.
And how long did it take them to get the first overall pick after all those?
Oh, yeah, all the lottery mishaps with them where they missed out on it's a huge name. That I'm drawing a blank on. They just kept missing out. Like, if there were two really big guys, right, they got pick 3.
Third pick.
If there was one guy, they got pick 2. Second if there was pick. 7 guys, they got pick 9. They just kept missing out on these generational kinds of players. Now they finally got lucky with Cat.
Yeah.
You know, then they got Anthony Edwards. Again, they've been in business for 36 years. Now, there's 30 teams in the NBA. That means from each conference, one team goes to the finals. So ostensibly, now there's 2 teams that play in the conference final. I don't even need a finals at this point. I don't even need a win. Just get to the finals once. No, they have 0 finals appearances in 36 years. 2 times they made it to the Western Conference Finals in 36 years, lost them both.
Lakers are pretty good, though.
It's
hard to get past the Lakers.
Oh, the team we lost? Anybody ever wonder why it's called the Los Angeles Lakers? Not a whole lot of lakes in California. Yeah, they started here.
Yeah, and the reason why they're purple and gold, same reason.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, but that's basketball. We're the state of hockey.
That's right. State of hockey, baby.
State of hockey. Yep. We got Hockey Day Minnesota coming up next weekend.
Yep.
Well, how about our Minnesota Wild? You know, it's kind of hard to track the win-loss percentage in hockey because you got the overtime losses and shootouts and all this. Well, I found a stat that said Minnesota Wild 5-12 winning percentage. Maybe that's a points percentage. That's 10th best. Okay. You know, if you're 10th best, you're making the playoffs. They're 34-62 in the playoffs.
Negative.
354 winning percentage. A minus 57 goal differential. They are, I told you the Timberwolves are 4-12 in playoff series. The Wild are 4-13. Can you stand it?
That's
also
brutal.
Zero finals appearances.
Yep.
0 titles. 1 conference final in 24 years. Remember that? And that one conference final, we made Jean-Sebastien Giguère of the Anaheim Ducks look like Dominic Hasek times 10.
Yep.
We could not score on the guy. That was the one time they've made the conference finals in 24 years.
Yeah, and we ran into the stonewall that is Giguère. Although he had an amazing playoff run up until he went to the finals, of course.
Yeah.
A la Bobrovsky of 2 years ago. gets them there and then kind of disappears. But
well, but Minnesota Wild, didn't you guys have a hockey team before the Minnesota Wild?
Sure did.
Well, as a matter of fact, we did.
Yeah,
the Minnesota North Stars. Norm Green still sucks. Look it up. You'll know what we mean. 368 winning percentage because they included ties back then.
Yeah,
we won
36.8%
of their games. If you take away the ties, even just wipe away the ties, 439 winning percentage for that franchise. 80-86 in the playoffs, so a little bit better. Still sub 500, 482 winning percentage, 12-17 in playoff series.
They made the finals.
They made two finals. One way back when.
Oh, yeah.
And then one when it was actually like the finals that we now recognize. Again, zero titles in 26 seasons. My Cobb Elementary School math tells me that you add the 24 years the Wild have gone, and the 26 years the North Stars went without titles, we're 0 for 50.
I hate you all so much!
Yep.
So our basketball team's 0 for 36. Hockey teams are 0 for 50. Our football team goes all the way back to 1960. What is this, Super Bowl 59 coming up?
Yep.
0 for 59.
Yep.
And then we've got our baseball team.
Baseball team. Now we're getting into this.
Now, yep. We can't say we have nothing. Minnesota Twins, all-time winning percentage, 497.
Yeah.
Just a little bit under. If you add in the Senators, it's 482 because they're the same franchise. So the Senators historically were even worse than we are. Playoff record, 36-59. That's 379. The Twins are 6-15 in playoff series, and that's with two World Series titles to their credit. Two titles in 53 years. The Senators had one in 60. So our baseball teams have, if you want to count the Senators one in 1924, be my guest. I think the statute of limitations has expired on that one. I'm going to say the Twins, since 1960, I believe it was 60, I thought I wrote it down, I didn't. I think it's 1961. Two titles in 53 years. Three World Series appearances, one in the 60s, two World Series titles. Okay, well, that's great. The last of those titles happened in 1991.
It was a while ago.
What's happened since then? This team went on
a
playoff
bad.
Losing streak that obliterated all baseball losing records that came before it. 18 consecutive games this franchise lost. 18 consecutive playoff games over the course of many years, obviously, because it takes a long time to lose 18 playoff games in a row.
Yeah, they weren't going to the playoffs every year.
Yeah, you're not losing seven-game series. You're getting swept over and over and over again. 18 straight games they lost. They beat the old record, which was 13, by the Boston Red Sox, which was so bad. We're talking Curse of the Bambino stuff going on there. That got so bad they made up a name for it. We blew past that like it didn't even exist. We went on to lose for two more full series.
Well, and we're so inconsequential that they didn't even have a name for us. They're just like, the Twins being
just
the Twins.
A Yankees punching bag on a year-by-year basis. So, all you sports fans out there that think Minnesota fans bitch too much, that guy on, pardon the interruption tonight, said, yeah, you know, the Minnesota Vikings have some, what did he call it, underestimated heartbreak or underreported heartbreak. Well, let it no longer be underreported, because it doesn't just stop with the Minnesota Vikings. It permeates every one of our franchises, and we watch the Timberwolves lose. We watch the Wild lose. We watch the 18 straight games the Twins lost in the playoffs. They finally broke that last time they made the playoffs. They beat, Toronto in a two-game series?
That sounds right.
And then got beat by Houston 3-1.
You would have thought we were in the World Series.
Oh, God. I think we might have even had a parade for that. But, see, people, this is why we are the way we are. And why we need lifelong, sport-loving friendships like this one to help us through this. Because this is hard.
We're already down enough. We don't get the sun 9 months out of the year.
The weather sucks.
Don't get your panties all in a bunch.
All I want is a little bit of sunshine when it comes to my sport teams. And I keep coming back. One of these, what is that shirt that is out there now? Doesn't it say like one before I die?
Yes.
Isn't that the circulating
just
shirt
one.
That's out there?
Just one
before
just
I one. Die? Yeah. I'm no longer convinced that that's actually going to happen.
Yeah, I had to...
your thoughts. I know I talked a lot there. Your thoughts on the historical ineptness of this professional sports market.
It's amazing how quickly we seem to. It's like you almost have to have a short-term memory when it comes to being a fan of these teams. You have to almost. Yeah, we can. We always end up going back to those losses when the next inevitable loss happens, because then it just brings it all back up. But, you know, it's almost like the ride getting there, you kind of forget about it for a little while. Like, you know, I know they joke all the time for the Cowboys. Oh, there's always next year. Or it's our year this year. You know, we don't ever really say that or we ever really have that feeling until we get to the point where we're like, it's looking pretty good. I don't think we ever really get our hopes up too much, but we're all like this year, you know, most teams, 14 wins. Most fans and teams would be like, this is it. But
I was the most deadpan fan of a 14 win team this year. And I know a couple people we worked with would ask every week, like I said, hey, you guys are doing so good. It's like, no, wait for it. We know it's coming. No, this is different. You got Sam. He's great. KOC, quarterback wisdom. Nope. I'm no longer going to just, I need to see it. I'm ready to be proven wrong. I've been ready to be proven wrong for 33 years now. But I'm going to reserve my excitement if for no other reason than to protect my fragile feelings anymore. I don't take this stuff as hard as I used to. I mean, hell, it ruined a lot of people's months. Like back in 2009, I still remember that. I think they had to get PA some psychological help. Like, I seriously, like on the air, they brought a shrink on the air because he was so bitter and
he hadn't been exposed enough.
He wasn't.
He's a transplant, but he's all in now. But
but he gets it now. Like he gets like that when he was yelling at Sam. Sam drops back to pass. Steps up in the pocket. He's still holding the ball. Get rid of it.
Bursich chimes in. They're just beside themselves. Yeah. What are you doing?
So they had to get him like psychological help because he was so despondent and so just angry at everyone and everything. This is why we are the way we are.
100%. It seemingly never ends. And of course, the Wild are now watch them over the last month or so. Not a lot of it, you can maybe say injuries.
A lot of injuries to some big names.
Yeah, but. I mean, arguably one of the best players in the game currently, with Kaprizov obviously being out, that doesn't help. But we watch them start. You're like, yeah, that sounds about right. You know, I'm sure we'll make the playoffs.
This is already taking the track of we're going to make the playoffs and we're going to get bombed 4-1 by
Dallas. Yes.
Because it always has to be. Oh, that was one thing I missed about. Can't read my own writing. The North Stars. We have the North Stars 26 years until 1993 when they moved to Dallas and become the Dallas Stars. They won the Cup 5 years later.
Yep.
1998.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that 1998, after we watch what happened to our Vikings, in case that didn't hurt enough, 4 months later, the Dallas Stars win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and how many titles have the Lakers won over the years?
I should have looked that up. It's got to be in the teens.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking in the 20s, but I really don't.
It could be.
I mean, well, the Phil Jackson Lakers alone have, I think, 5, do they not?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Shaq and Kobe years. Yeah.
And then I mean, obviously it was before my time, but I mean, all those 70s,
the Magic teams that went back and forth with the Celtics.
Yeah, Magic Johnson. I mean, they had to
LeBron
have.
LeBron went out there and won one now.
Sure did. So it might even be in the 20s. I don't know. I'm not wrote on Lakers basketball. I know they may not have as many as the Celtics historically, but they're up there. And there's a former Minnesota team that moved and just decided to be one of the best teams of all time. Dallas, now, obviously, they're not there, and hopefully they never get there. No offense, Dallas fans, but it hurts when we go over those stats and we see a former Minnesota sports team go elsewhere, and shortly thereafter, seemingly just, we're going to go on a run. And
with a lot of the same players. Players weren't moving quite as much back then. There was player movement, but not nearly like it is now.
Yeah, the core was...
Mike Modano, was the beloved player in Minnesota, was on that cup-winning team in 1998. It's just, you can't make it up. So yeah, if you see a Minnesota sports fan, please keep them in your thoughts. This is what's going through our head on a loop just about every day. Anytime somebody talks sports, these are the flashes we have. We see Gary Anderson's kick missing. We see Darren Nelson dropping that pass. We see Joe Mauer's opposite field double landing 6 feet fair and getting called foul at Yankee Stadium. It changed an entire series. We see the Lakers winning. We see the Stars winning. Be gentle, okay? We've dealt with enough. JT, this has been awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Back again. We got so much more non-sports related stuff to talk about, but...
Yeah, I don't blame you for not having me on for the political stuff, because the E expletive probably would have been on more than you'd like.
Hey, it's just a box I got to check, and if we have one that's not for the faint of heart, that's okay. We've put out that warning, and buyer beware. But yeah, we've got a lot to talk about on that front, but thanks so much for being here, helping me get through this all these years. I hope I've helped you a little bit
the way. Like you said earlier, you get older, and you kind of just haven't not heard as much. It's just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, and I had to let the youngins know, like, just kind of what to expect. Hopefully they don't have to go through the same 40 plus year drought that we've seen the two Twins wins notwithstanding. But
oh, dear God, I hope not. Until next time, my friend, thanks again.
Thank you.
How fun was that, huh? Oh, man, the sports-related cuts go so deep. Some of these memories are like they happened last week. It is something to behold. Thank you again, JT, for being here for that. I have nothing to add. I think we pretty much covered it all. I love these sports episodes. Like I said, we are going to get into many things that are apolitical. We're gonna mix and match. We're gonna go back and forth. This is a time of year where it's very easy to find things that are non-political. Now, that being said, Donald Trump's second inauguration is Monday, so we'll obviously touch on a few things on the current events and political side of things within the next week or two. Sadly, I'm not going to be able to get that debate between me and my friend, the Harris voter, out before the inauguration. She's still on board, just her travels kind of took her away for quite a while, and she just started a new job that she is training for, and even over the weekends she's doing some on-the-job training for this new job. So we will get that done here within the next few weeks. Not going to happen before the inauguration, but that's no big deal. It's still going to be a good time, and I still think you're going to find it extremely entertaining. So thank you so much for joining me and my man JT for this Minnesota sports-related grieving session. We're getting pretty good at these. Very few fan bases. I would put Buffalo up there as honorable mention. Very few fan bases have the lengthy history of heartbreak, copyright Dan Winnesota, with such a complete and utter void of payoffs. Winning a title after missing out 30 times in a row. We don't get the payoffs. Since 1991, not one of our teams has won a title. I believe the running number is now... Oh, what is it? 124? I think it's 136. So somewhere in the 130 to 136 total seasons across all major professional sports without a championship in this market. So your understanding of our mindset and our inferiority complex is greatly appreciated. On to the next. Minnesota Wild, Minnesota Timberwolves, you're up. Thanks again for joining me for Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. That was JT. Don't be a jerk. Having the right of way does not mean take your sweet ass time. And I'll talk to you next time.